There's a very moving passage that I saw that the Talmidim of Rav Shlomo Zalman write in his name. And they write that Yitzuyan Shepam Belel Erev Yom HaKippurim, one year on the night of Yom Kippur, La'achar Shenifta Rabbeinu Misholim Rabim Shatzavu Al Pischo. As one would imagine, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach had lines of people who were coming to talk to him on Erev Yom Kippur and the night of Yom Kippur to ask him all the questions that were necessary for fasting and those who were sick. Now, just as an aside, I would suggest that people who have such issues should discuss them before Yom Kippur. It's never comfortable when we have to sit and worry about it on Yom Kippur itself without any advance warning or planning from doctors. So try to take care of it before. But here, Shlomo Zalman had a long line of people on Yom Kippur night, and he turned around, Nene l'bnei beis v'yamar, after the last person left his home, he turned to his family members and he said, Baruch Hashem, Rabu kol kach b'dorenu b'vakshei dvar Hashem zu halacha. He says, we have so many people, there's such a proliferation of Talmud Torah today, more so than we've had in previous generations. U'medaktikim b'chol pratu prat, and he says, and people are so careful about every last detail of the halacha, and they make sure to do everything right. And certainly, he says, and specifically, b'frat b'hilchos chag b'chag, even certainly when it comes to the Yamim Tovim, we all get excited, and people ask Shilas about how to build the sukkah, and what do you do about the Dalad Minim, and how do we do everything just the right way it should be done. Ach, he says, Ru'una, he says, I want you all to take notice. Ki mikol ha-she'elu she'nish'alti ha-layla. From all of the questions that people waited online to discuss with me this evening, lo aska af achas b'hilchos tshuva. Not one person asked me a question about the laws of tshuva. Nobody asked me, how do I do tshuva properly? How do I repent for my sins that I've transgressed over the year? How do I make up with my friend in the proper way, and how perhaps do I not? And he says, v'hi mitzvah sayom. After all, that really is the mitzvah sayom of Yom Kippur. That's what everybody should be waiting online to discuss. Umi yitain, he says, I hope someday v'yiskasher dara, the generation will grow even more than it already has. Laso karoi gam mitzvah zu. Maybe people someday will start asking about this mitzvah as well. They won't only be waiting online to talk to me about the halachas of the Dalad Minim and the halachas of building the sukkah and how exactly to do everything right. Maybe someday someone's going to wait online, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, to ask me a question about Hilchos Tshuva. Shehilchoseh Merubos. After all, it is a very complicated set of laws. Upuk Chazi, he says, go and see, kamatarchu v'yaguba rabbeseinu harishonim v'hakadmonim. Look how much the Rishonim wrote about tshuva and about all the intricate details of how to go through the process properly. V'imkein, and he says, kama aleinu lehisponin ula'ayin heitev leida ofen kiyuma kehilchasa. He says, it would probably make sense for in our generation, if the Rishonim spend so much time and so much energy working on exactly how the tshuva process is supposed to be done, we should at least think about it a little bit. And certainly during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva and on Yom Kippur, and I was very moved when I saw this comment of Rav Shlomo Zalman, because how many times have I gone through a Yom Kippur and only worried about, did I eat, did I drink, the mouthwash isn't mutter, am I allowed to use this? I can't tell you how many emails I get every year before Yom Kippur about, did Rav Schechter really say you're allowed to use the Listerine strips? Did he not say it? Does he argue with Rav Moshe? Does this? And those are all details, but says Rav Shlomo Zalman, you're missing what Yom Kippur is all about. The mitzvah sayom, more pronounced than anything else, is the mitzvah hatshuva. We should be standing online to ask shailas, not about the Listerine, and not about how to build our sukkah, not about everything else. All those are important. But also about, how do we properly go through the process of tshuva? So I saw a comment of Reb Shamshon Rafael Hirsch. It's such a beautiful paragraph that he has. It's pages long, but I just took out what I think is the most powerful part of it. He says, Shema Tomar. Here you have a person who's in the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, who's about to experience Yom Kippur, and we're all talking about tshuva, and we go to the tshuva drushas, and we're all trying to inspire ourselves. And he says, maybe a person, and I've been one of these people, I don't know if anyone else shares the feeling, but when I saw this from Rav Hirsch, I felt that I identify very much with what he's saying. Maybe you'll say, Ein chayachol od limtso es derech hachazara. There's something I've become so used to, I can't do tshuva for it anymore. I've gone too far. It's become too much a part of my life. Yoter midai hechasti es avi shebashamayim. I have angered, I have disappointed, I have aggravated my Father in heaven to the point that there is no tshuva anymore. I've done something that I just cannot stop myself from doing. Maybe I've gotten to a point that is too far for my Father in heaven lisloach li. Maybe He can't even forgive me anymore. Va'afim yislach li, and even maybe if God will find a place in His magnanimous heart to find a place of forgiveness for me, Ein slicha asuya lahoilach. Maybe that won't even help me. Why? Because maybe I have been so dishonest in my business, and therefore every part of my life is built on the dishonesty. Every part of my life is built on the foundation of this terrible act that I've done. And therefore he says, Bris Nisuecha, my entire marriage, Vechinuch Banecha, my children, I paid all their tuitions without stolen money. Everything that I have in my life came from that Aveira. And it's all based on a falsehood. And therefore, maybe it's just too planted. It's too ingrained into my life. B'makom shezarata avon lo titzmach ha'yeshua. And after all, if I've planted my whole life with this terrible activity that I've done, nothing positive will come or will germinate from that very act. Nothing can grow that is positive from that. And sometimes he says, gam im ata rotza lachzer, sometimes even if a person does sincerely want to do tshuva, ein chayacha lehishtachar mekavle habusha, one sometimes has a difficult time trying to free themselves from the shackles of shame and embarrassment. Everybody knows what I've done. My family knows that I'm not good at this particular area in my life. How am I going to do tshuva for that? Even if God finds a place for me, what's going to be with my family? What's going to be with my friends? They're not going to let me get away with that. And he goes on and on and he says, Ein chamasuga lichbosh es yitzrecha. Sometimes you feel, I cannot overcome this issue. Forgetting about my God, forgetting about my family, maybe they will be forgiving, maybe they will be understanding, maybe they'll give me another chance, but I personally, I just can't do it. V'incha omed, and you stand there, chaser onim mul oivecha ha'orvim lecha bekerav libcha ata. And you stand there with your hands tied, just thinking, what am I supposed to do at this point? Says Rav Hirsch, he writes, afal pikein chazar b'tshuva. Hine ba yom ha'kipurim. Don't you feel blessed? Yom Kippur is coming. And a person might have all these thoughts going through their minds, as I would imagine many of us do. Afilu chatasa kol yamei chayecha. Writes Rav Hirsch, even if a person did something their entire life. Va'afilu hayu kol ma'asecha machshevosecha v'diburecha. And even if every activity, the foundations of every part of your life is based on that falsehood, is based on that terrible thing that you have done, with all that in mind, with all the thoughts that are swimming around my head, it's still Yom Kippur. And Bechazda HaGadol, the Ribbono Shel Olam, gave us this opportunity to experience Yom Kippur. Lo pam achas bilvad amar Hashem salachti. God doesn't say only once, salachti. Elohu chozer v'yomer. God says it over and over again throughout the experience of Yom Kippur. So le'achu mitaher. Not only does He forgive us, but He's mitaher us also. He's mekariv us. He brings us back into the fold. Ata aseya shalcha, writes Rav Hirsch. You do what you have to do. Harchek mi beisecha es kol asher rachashta b'emtzo sachet. You have to do whatever you have to do. Make sure to get rid of that problem that you had. Payes es achecha asher holbanta es panav. Go and make up with the friends that you may have embarrassed and humiliated. Hakem es chaverecha asher nafal ba'ashmas gavasecha. Make sure that you go and make up with the people that you perhaps have destroyed. Sometimes we've done something that we've totally destroyed somebody else's life. It happens sometimes. It happens once in a while. Go and do something about that. Hasir memcha mi beisecha kol ma shemenuga dereacha Torah. Takin es bris nisuecha. Talk to your spouses. Repair the relationships with them and chinuch banecha. And then he says, achare kein, and after you do all of that, the last part is easy. The last part is easy. That's not the difficulty. A person should never feel, writes Rav Hirsch, that you've gotten to a point where you have violated something so many times or it's become so much a part of your personality that God Himself isn't even willing to accept it any longer. I did once see a beautiful piece in the Sefer Torah Sager. It's a composite of halachos for Hilchos Geirus. And he has a discussion in there that there were Nazis after many, many years that wanted to convert to Judaism. And he writes, this was a very difficult issue. Are there perhaps limits to Geirus? Are there limits to tshuva? Do we allow somebody who has committed such heinous crimes in their life to then turn around and say, well, I do tshuva. I do tshuva and now I'd like to become a Jew because I feel so awful about that which I cause to the Jewish people, I'd like to now contribute on my own to the betterment of the Jewish people. Are there limitations to tshuva? Is there such a concept? Do we have such an idea? The Pelayoitz writes, Reb Lezer Papo, he was one of the great Gedolim in the end of the 1700s, he writes, You'll say that tshuva is a very complicated, a difficult process that we have to go through, and we don't have the head for it, and it's not easy for us to really read through the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva and the Shari Tshuva when Rabbeinu Yonah talks about how one is supposed to properly go through the process. It's not so easy, you'll say. It's a long, drawn-out process, and he writes, Hama'at she'osim b'doros halal, the little bit that we are able to accomplish, the herhurei tshuva today that we can do, chashav kaharbe shehayu osim b'doros harishonim. He's writing this in the 1700s. The little bit that we have the ability to do today, just to have some herhurei tshuva and show the Ribbono Shel Olam that we take this time of year with some kind of seriousness, and we want him to accept that which we are putting forth before him. He says, God will even accept mechza l'shlish v'l'raviyah, which is a statement that the Gemara makes in a totally different context, but he puts it here, kasher tasig yado kein anachnu. He says, God is willing to accept something which is incomplete, even something which is unfinished. Even though the tshuva process, you may not have gone through all of it, but even to give him a little bit at this time of year is already enough to make him accept it and to make him proud of the activities that we've been through. There's a mashal that's told over in the name of the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim said there was an individual who lived in a small town, and he really had issues with parnasa, and he borrowed money from every single member of the community. At some point in his life, he just knocked on every single door, and everybody helped him out, and it came to a point where there was just nobody left to borrow money from. And every time he would walk out into the streets, people would start berating him, they would start shouting at him that he hadn't paid them back, and they would humiliate him in public, and they would embarrass him. And he was so ashamed, he couldn't even bring himself to walk on the streets anymore. He didn't know what to do. So somebody wanted to make him feel good. So somebody in the community goes over to him. He says, you know, life is terrible for you, and you haven't paid back anyone, and you owe money to the entire town. But I'll tell you one good thing about you, and that is, I can assure you that every single person in this community who daven Shmona Esrei every day, Rifa'enu Hashem v'nei Rafei, is thinking about you. Why? Because they want you to have longevity. They want you to live a long life that you'll have the opportunity to pay them back at some point. So every single person in this town is davening for you. At least you should know that. And he tries to make him feel good. So the Chafetz Chaim said, this is what we mean when we ask the Ribbono Shel Olam, Zachreinu L'Chaim. Why are we asking him for life? Melech Chafetz B'Chaim, Chasveinu B'Sefer HaChaim, said the Chafetz Chaim, we owe God so much. He puts us on this world, he asks us to follow the rules, we don't follow the rules. He gives us the opportunity to pay him back, to do tshuva, to do something to make up for all of the times that we didn't listen to him, for all the money that we, so to speak, borrowed from him on an account that we really weren't worthy of having. And now, says the Chafetz Chaim, every person in town is davening that we should have Rifa'enu Hashem v'nei Rafei. And God himself is giving us that opportunity, Kasveinu b'sefer HaChaim, why? Lemancha Elokim Chaim. It's all for you. You're going to give us more life. Why? In order that we should have the opportunity to be healthy enough to pay it back to you at some point, in some way. And said the Chafetz Chaim, that's what a person should think about as they daven Shmona Esrei through this time of year. Let me close with one comment. Rav Asher Weiss says on many, many occasions, every year during Chodesh Elul, he mentions the Medrash in Shir HaShirim says that the Talmidim of Rabbi Elazar said to him, Amar Lanu, they said to him, tell us, Rabbi, Heich nasa tshuva v'nichya. How should we do tshuva and live? And he gives them some kind of convoluted answer that's very hard to understand what exactly he's getting at. Rav Asher Weiss said, what many people misunderstand about this medrash is, the main crux of the question was, Heich nasa tshuva v'nichya. It's very nice that a person, Rachmana Litzlan, on their deathbed, calls the family around and says, I want to ask mechila from everybody, and I feel really bad about all the things that I did. That's easy. That's easy tshuva. That's not hard. At the end of life, when it doesn't make a difference anymore, it's very easy to ask for tshuva and not have to live with the consequences anymore. They were asking Rabbi Elazar, how can a person do tshuva v'nichya? How can we do tshuva and continue to have a meaningful life and continue to live with that conscience that we had of the terrible things that we've done? That's an art, and that is not so easy. That is something that's a more difficult kind of tshuva to reach, when a person is going to live with that guilt. Not that on Erev Yom Kippur we're going to text our friends and say, oh, are you mochel me? That's silliness. We know that it means nothing. We know that that's absolutely meaningless. It has no value in halacha at all. That's not the tshuva process. It's not really a mechila that our friends grant us just because they write back to us yes, no, or whatever they write. It's not really what it means. Heich nasa tshuva v'nichya, how can we do tshuva and live with it? How can we go on and have meaningful lives? Not to give up our lives for tshuva, not to ask for mechila at the end of life, but to ask for tshuva now, in the middle of life, in the prime of our lives, when we've done things that we know are wrong, when there are people that we know we have slandered, that we know we have hurt, that we know we have impacted in a negative way. What can we do in order to continue to live on life and live with that guilt of what we've done? And live with the tshuva process that we have been through? And that is really a profound question. That is something that is very difficult. And the Rambam gives us that answer, and he says, Gedolo tshuva shemekareves asa adam l'shchina. A person should realize that when you go through the process of tshuva, you become ever closer to God Himself. Emesh hayezes sanoi lifnei hamakom. Yesterday, God hated you. Meshukatz emaruchak v'toeva. You were a disgrace. You were an embarrassment. You were shameful. God didn't want to have anything to do with you. V'hayom. And now that you've been through that process, and it has elevated you and inspired you, hu ahuv v'nechmad karov v'yedid. The Rambam is very poetic here when he writes about what happens when someone goes to tshuva, but he says, it is possible to do tshuva and to live with it. Because God is willing to say that now you have transformed yourself to become a ahuv, v'nechmad, a karov, and a yedid. And we should all have that opportunity in this time of year. Keitz mechilu slicha l'chol b'nei adam, that we have the opportunity that God gives us this chesed, this incredible gift of tshuva, that we should have that chance, like the Chafetz Chaim said, kasveinu b'sefer achayim, give us another year of life in order that we should be able to pay you back, that we should be able to have the opportunity to make up for all those terrible mistakes that we have made. L'ma'ancha elokim chayim.